Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks one and all for being with us again, wherever you are and whatever time of the day, the month, the year you listen to the show, because I know we have listeners all over the world, and that's very exciting. My guest tonight is Carl Johan Kalaman, and he is taking a very different approach to the Mayan calendar and all of that information. And I'm very excited to talk to him. I think he has information that nobody else has, and it's going to be absolutely fascinating. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And part of it is just the absolutely mundane, silly stuff that is the cycles of nature and how it affects you. It's summer. We had the summer solstice. It's officially summer, but I can tell you how I know it's officially summer. The reason I know it's officially summer is I have switched my morning coffee from hot coffee to iced coffee, because when I got up in the morning the last few days, it was really warm and I didn't want to have a hot cup of coffee. So, you know, we tune into the cycles of nature in simple ways but profound ways. You look at how you're reacting and go, oh, something changed here. The summer solstice was very interesting. And we've talked on the show many times about how changes in the natural cycles or solar flares or earthquakes or any number of natural phenomena affect how people, human beings, people with bodies feel. And this winter was very, very difficult, partly because of the high level of solar flare activity. And a lot of people felt extremely tired, had brain fog, had joint pain, had all kinds of things that didn't have a medical origin. It was a terrible winter, but it was made considerably more difficult because of the solar flares. And most people were not paying attention to it, didn't know why it was happening, thought that they were getting fibromyalgia or were depressed or whatever they thought it was. And then the weather got warmer, and we thought it was because the weather got warmer. But the other thing is the solar flares reduced, and we were not having that phenomenon. So I don't know about the rest of you, but I've talked to several people, and we all were strangely tired from the day before the solstice until 2-3 days afterwards. Just sit down and for no apparent reason fall asleep, not be able to concentrate, sleeping later in the morning if that's something that fits in your schedule, going to sleep earlier at night, and sitting there scratching our heads going, what? Why am I so tired? What's going on here? And then you do the whole Western medical thing. I must be getting a virus. I must be this. I must be that. No, it was just the quirky way that this particular solar alignment affected people who were sensitive. And that's one of those things, you know, and we have a guest on the show periodically, Claudia McNeely, who has a wonderful daily energy report where she tracks all that stuff and has people report to her what their symptoms are, which is a wonderful thing, because if you're feeling lousy, you can look at her list and go, oh, yeah, I've got all the symptoms that everybody else does. So it's not me and I'm not getting sick. So this is just another one of those reminders of how we're being affected by much, much more subtle things in the universe than most of us are paying attention to. And when something's happening and it doesn't seem to make any sense, not to jump to the conclusion that you're sick or something else is going on that level, but to realize that you're just a very sensitive human being and you may be tuning into the cycles of nature in a way that you weren't taught as a child is something that affects you, but it certainly does. And we're going to be talking about cycles of nature and the Mayan calendar in just a minute. So that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And let's get right to a conversation with my guest tonight, Carl Johan Kalaman. You with us, Carl?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Thank you so much for being on the show. I'm really excited to talk to you about all this. And just for maybe for your amusement, but it certainly amused me, I said I was going to have an expert on the Mayan calendar on the show, and the person I was talking to said, Carl, his name ends with M-A-N. Yeah, he's the guy. He knows all about it. So I was like, oh, good. You know, and now I know I got the real deal. So you have a PhD. You have a whole interesting background. What I usually do with people on the show is have you tell enough of your story and your journey to give people the context of how you wound up doing the research you're doing and learning what you're learning and what's in your new books. And then let's talk about that information.
Yes. Yes. Great. Yeah. Well, I'm born and raised in Sweden, and which may seem like a sort of an odd place to be born in, if you're focusing your life mission on your on the Mayan calendar. But I do think also that it's been an advantage to have a certain distance to the Mayan information and see it in a different, more scientific perspective than I would have. I mean, assuming that I would have just gone down there to be trained by Mayan daykeepers or so forth, then I would have been sort of stuck in that perspective. And right. I think that the ancient Mayan perspective was much wider than it is today among the Maya or anywhere in the world. And so I was happy really to have that kind of a distance. And the way I started my scientific career as a chemist, as a cancer researcher, and I was mentored by a member of the Nobel committees in Stockholm. So I had a very rigorous scientific background, and I've learned a tremendous amount from this. But when I was 29, I saw some little on a bulletin board at the University of Stockholm, I saw some note, you can go to Mexico, stay in a Mexican family and learn Spanish. And I just felt attracted to that and decided to take the risk. This is way before internet, and I didn't really know what I was getting into.
Sure.
And I landed in Mexico City, unbeknownst to myself, at the Day of the Dead. If anybody has been in Mexico on the Day of the Dead, it's easy to realize that this is not like the rational-minded Swedish laboratory.
Yeah, it's a pretty dramatic celebration.
It is. And I came in the middle of the night to this city outside of Mexico City with the skeletons hanging from the light poles and the different cadavers being on display on surgical tables, all kind of bizarre things that they engage in. In addition, of course, to eating these skulls, these with the names of their ancestors and all that kind of thing. But I very soon really took a love to this colorful culture. And relatively soon, I took a third-class train. That by itself tells you a lot, actually, a third-class train in Mexico in those days. It was literally sort of the stereotype of pigs and chickens and all those kinds that were your co-passengers. It's not a joke. They were there.
Stuff piled on the roof and...
Oh, yeah. All that. And then I went down, and I was just, you know, I just felt this very strong affinity. And the closer I came to Yucatan and all the Mayan culture, you know, the more connected I felt to the people. And and of course, I visited a couple of places then. And I should add, in those days, it was great because, you know, it wasn't like today. Chichen Itza didn't have 2 million visitors per year. It
right.
was, you know, this guy with a sombrero sitting in his little hut and, you know, sleepily handing you a ticket or something like that. And strolling around were archaeologists and, you know, some few visitors. I would sneak in the middle of the night and look at these, you know, look at the stars through these temples or observatories, and that was really fascinating. And so anyway, I came back to Sweden really, really happy because I felt there was a purpose to my life. I heard the basic of the calendar already then, but I yet could not, you know, really do something with it. So it took another, I think, 13 years
wow.
working later at the University of Washington in Seattle with environmental health and stuff. But during this time, the Mayan calendar never, or that original experience never left me. And so there came a point where I just decided this is to explore this, to make this available to modern people is more important than the previous laboratory work that I had been doing. And from that point and onward, that's what I've devoted myself to, writing and teaching and so forth. And so here we are now talking about it, you and I.
Well, and I'm always excited and fascinated with someone with a rigorous scientific background comes to a topic and a body of information which is usually seen as being spiritual or part of a shamanic tradition or whatever you want to any way that you want to position it, that's saying that it doesn't fit scientific scrutiny. And
yeah.
You had all those skills and you looked at this and said, oh, there's something I want to do here. So I'm really excited to hear where you went with it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
What mm-hmm. was when you first looked at the information, what was mm-hmm. it that caught you as a scientist that you said, I want to delve into this particular corner of this and see where it leads me?
Well, I think, you know, already when I was in Mexico then, at the age of 29, I did read Michael Coe's book, The Maya, saying that the calendar, the long count calendar, would come to an end in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And I did find out that they had another calendar system where they had these symbols, these glyphs, that would be that would be symbols of the days, and these I learned had 260 days, and that really was a mind blower in the sense, because that's not corresponding to any astronomical cycle.
Right.
And so it became clear to me, even though I couldn't make sense of it at the time, that their calendar system was completely different and based on a metaphysical reality rather than the physical astronomical reality as other mm-hmm. calendars are. And also this of an some kind of a the long scale of these things also appealed to me and gave me some intuitive sense that these guys are right, or they were right, and
right.
It's just a matter of making sense of it somehow.
Yeah, you figure anything that a culture can consistently work on for 6,000 years has got to have some depth to it.
Yeah, that's right. Hopefully, yeah.
And I've often marveled at what little I could glimpse of the technology that the Maya and some of the other cultures were using, which I don't think we have figured out at all.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this odd cycle of 260 days, and then what?
Then what? Oh, you mean when? Then what else do we have in the Mayan calendar system? Is that a good question?
Well,
what was your
path of inquiry? So that was the thing that struck you, and
yeah, that's right.
And obviously, you had a whole lot more that you did with it, but you started out with this 260-day cycle that clearly was not astronomical. And what was the next understanding?
Okay. Well, I think it was in 1987 that I had started to work in Seattle that I got in my hand José Argüelles' book, The Mayan Factor, which had a number of very seminal thoughts regarding the Mayan calendar, and he in that book went into details on certain aspects of history that would conform to the Mayan calendar, and so that and the harmonic convergence that I participated in was really changed my understanding. I really felt much more certain that the Maya had something deep and profound to contribute to us. That was the next. And then it came in 1992, I would say, I read the book by Maya Cosmos by Schiele and Friedel, who are academic Mayanists, and found out that it wasn't only the so-called long count that started 5,100 years ago, but there were actually several different waves. Nine different waves came out of their work, and that. At that point, I felt this is too much. I will have to leave my previous career and get the time to really explore what's underneath here. And that's when I started to write books. Much of my work has really been to. And this is typical of my scientific background. It's really to verify through the study of history that it matches up with the Mayan calendar and the fifth point in the Mayan calendar. And I think that is something that might have distinguished me from many others who sort of just took the cycles and believed in the cycles as such. But that wasn't enough for me. For me, I wanted to see that it actually matched up with the shifts in human history. And then, of course, there's come then three books out of that, these studies that led up to the current book, which is the first in a trilogy, The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization. Mm-hmm. And I noticed your theme here was the truth is in here, and I think that's a great theme, and it could have been a theme for my book, because my way of looking at it is somewhat reversed to many others. The way I look upon it, the Mayan calendar, is that human mind is altered with a certain periodicity. And as the human mind is altered, we tend to project another kind of external reality. And so the changes are actually initially happening inside ourselves, like shifts in consciousness. But as the shift in consciousness takes place, we change the way we relate to the external world, and then we go out there and change it. So the truth is in here, as you're saying. And right. And that's what allows us to use the Mayan calendar as a tool for understanding and prediction and so forth, because the changes in our inside follow certain patterns and patterns of the Mayan calendar, and those are the ones that I have explored and may try to make sense of.
Well, this is exactly the stuff that I absolutely love, where we see the intersection of metaphysics, scientific inquiry, and especially history. And usually the metaphysics and the quantum physics are very close to each other, which drives the physicists crazy. We're going to be taking a break in just a couple of minutes. I want to make sure people know how to find you online and find your books. What's your website?
My website is www.kalleman, kalleman.com. And they can find my books either there or at Amazon or any other Barnes & Nobles and so forth.
Right. So, just search for your name, and I'm sure they all pop up.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
So, fantastic. I don't want to get involved in a much deeper conversation because we're going to have to go to the break. But we have one of the things that I hope that we'll be able to spend enough time on in the second half of the show is your idea that the Mayans, the Mayan calendar and the Mayan information is really way of looking at the origin of humanity and how humanity operates in the world. So I find that absolutely fascinating. I know as I flip through the book, and it's one of those books I will be, you know, sitting on the porch reading this summer in detail.
Oh, great. Yeah.
You know, I saw all the technical information that you had broken out of all this, and but underneath that, you're seeing something here that has a profound understanding of how human beings have developed over time, based on the information with the Maya. I also want to talk about when we have a second, the craziness that went on calling it the Mayan apocalypse, which which was just too funny, and just another opportunity for people to freak out, because people like to freak out and not think. I remember actually the harmonic convergence had some of the same stuff going on. God, it's an alignment that it doesn't happen in more than once every however many thousands of years, so it must mean the end of the world. Except it never does. So, all right. So we're going to go to the break in a minute. We will be back shortly, unless, of course, we get taller, here on the Farkas Files with my guest, Carl Johan Kalleman, who is one of the experts on the Mayan calendar here on Empower Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, Larry, mind if I sit down?
Nope.
This coffee tastes like coffee. So what's going on?
Not much.
What's new?
Not much.
Okay, but can you please put the newspaper down while you say not much?
What newspaper?
This newspaper. Oh, dude! What happened to your face? I see one, two,
ow,
three, four, five, six,
ow,
seven. Dude, what is
ow
this? 11 pieces of toilet paper stuck to your face?
I'm shaving in the dark to save energy. I'm helping the environment.
That's a dangerous way to help the environment.
Well, sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself for the greater good.
Dude, there's an easier and safer way to help the environment without sacrificing yourself. Go green, go public. Take public transportation. It's good for the environment and you won't have to live behind a newspaper.
Wow.
But for now, put the newspaper back up.
A message from the public transportation systems across the country. To learn more, visit publictransportation.org.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg.
Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah!
Sassy! Johnny fell down the well!
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound health and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with my guest, Carl Johan Kalaman, who is probably the expert on the real deeper story of the Mayan calendar. So, you know, I was just kind of throwing out the whole thing about the nightmare disaster scenario that everybody puts on any major event in any calendar that they possibly can. But the end of the Mayan calendar also was an alignment of, as I flippantly say, a whole bunch of large rocks in the solar system, which meant that they had to be able to predict it, and that it was really interesting that that was the point in time that the cycle ended.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, obviously
yeah,
from the kind of work that you're doing, that was not the key issue. The fact that they predicted an astronomical event really was not the point.
No, it wasn't. And, you know, I tend to think that modern people, we are able to see connections and we create our own stories, and they're not necessarily coming from the Maya. And so I really emphasize to actually look at the ancient inscriptions that the Maya themselves were giving, the ancient Maya, so to speak. And Now, and the whole idea of an apocalypse or an end of the world is sort of, it seems to be wired into the culture, so to speak, and it just doesn't come from the Maya. It's just another story, so to speak, and hardships, yes, and difficult times, yes. That was very much part of the ancient Mayans. Some of their predictions that they were making for certain time periods, but the idea of an end to the world is not present in their worldview. I can say that with some certainty.
Now, is there another one of the stories that's a part of this is that this is the turning point between a period of darkness and a period of profound light and cooperation and love on the planet. Is that really the story that they were telling?
No, I would not say so. I mean, and not that they would be that specific about our own time. So I would rather, you know, just speak for myself and my way of interpret the Mayan calendar. And it is not as simple as to say that it used to be a time of darkness and now comes a time of light. What I am saying, if we are going into the future, is that, which really will be only dealt with in the third volume of this trilogy, mm-hmm. then there is a possibility has been created for going into what you might call unity consciousness. That remains true. But I also believe that there will be, because the shift influenced several other waves. You might say that this possibility of going into unity consciousness will probably happen against the background of a lot of difficulties, serious difficulties, mm-hmm. for our already established civilization, so to speak. Yes, there is a new possibility of getting into the light, I would say so, but I don't think we should expect this to be a sort of an easy surf or easy
right.
ride
well.
or something like that. It will require of us all, I think, to look into ourselves and see how we fit into this new possibility of unity consciousness, and we may have to give up a lot of conveniences that have been coming from, you know, the civilization of the past. That's how I look upon it. It's not a simple shift from good to bad, from bad to good, or from good to bad, or so. It's unfortunately, it is a little bit more complex than that.
Everything is always more complex than the simple stories
yeah.
that are told.
Yeah.
And every transition has a period of chaos. So,
yeah.
you know, no matter how you tell the story, when you make a big shift, there's going to be a period of chaos as the shift
yeah.
happens. So,
yeah.
But I love the idea of it being seen as a possibility and that we are the drivers of the possibility,
yeah.
which also is not just a very metaphysical way of looking at it, but the way that quantum physics would look at it.
Yeah.
That there is a possibility out there and that the consciousness of the people who are observing what's going on and shifting things in quotation marks, the experiment, are going to change the outcome.
Yeah, right. And I also think it comes out of this possible good outcome, if you call it that, the unity consciousness. It will require a choice on each one, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of people that want to stay with another dualistic mind because they got used to it, or and their whole world has been created by it, and they may even benefit from it in one way or another. Some people benefit tremendously from it, and anyway, so not everyone, I think, is going to really make this kind of a serious commitment to change themselves and their lifestyles accordingly to go into this kind of a unity consciousness that now is possible.
Sure.
But it is possible.
That's supposed to be one of the reasons that the Israelites spent 40 years in the desert, because an entire generation that had grown up as slaves needed to die so that the new generation could go into a new world and behave differently. So we've got a generation that's going to either have to transform itself or literally die off as all the people of that generation naturally go through their natural cycle. And that takes time. It always takes time.
It does, yes.
And one of the things that I'm fascinated with is your idea that the Mayan calendar and the information from the Maya tells us something about the origins of humanity and where we came from and how our existence has unfolded. And, you know, we don't have – I know I'm going to have you back because there's so much here. But if you could give us the idea, the concept that you're working with on that.
Yeah. Well, it's the basic structure of the Mayan calendar system is really shown in the nine-storied pyramids that they built. These are like metaphors for creation. And they show how one wave is created upon another wave, upon another wave. And so waves with higher and higher frequency are being activated in a special sequential order. And the first wave really creates the universe in its physical appearance with the galaxies and how they are organized. And then on top of that comes the different waves of that create the biology, you might say, the bodies, so the biology of the different organisms, including then the human being. And then comes the waves that I'm now most focusing on, that are actually then describing the evolution of the human mind. And so really when I say that this is a new theory of our origins, it really refers to the origin of our minds. And that is really to a large extent what makes us into human beings. We would not be the kind of beings we are today unless we had a mind, and unless that has had developed according to a certain pattern. And the mind then that comes forth from this is really a global mind, and our individual minds is more like being in resonance with the evolving global mind. Naturally, we don't think everybody exactly the same kind of thoughts. And so, and yet, you know, it's more like when I talk about a global mind and that there are certain time periods where we can download the mind, then it's almost like an updating of different versions of the global mind. So it's like version 1.0 came 5,100 years ago, basically. And then after another 800 years came version 2.0, etc., etc. And you might say everybody is downloading this basic program, for instance, the Word program on computers or something like that. But we're not writing exactly the same thing. In other words, we don't have exactly the same thoughts. But the overall structure of how we're thinking is coming from this this global mind. And so I think my book it really very thoroughly debunks the idea that the mind is something that is created by the brain, which is the idea of modern science, and it's the idea of our educational system and of medicine that always treats people with that premise. And instead, the mind is something that is mediated by the earth, and in more mm-hmm. specifically by the inner core of the earth. And and we download this mind and to our brains, you might say. Our brains are downloading it, and that's the reason that even if we have differences and think to some extent differently, we're still able to understand each other. And this would not be the case if each one of us would, have a brain that created a mind of its own. Then we would not understand anybody else, really. But now we do, because we're all hooked up to the same global mind. And if we want to understand how this global mind evolves, which after all then is the key factor in understanding the evolution of civilization, then we will have to study the Mayan calendar and see what we can learn about this global mind that we're all sharing in and having part of.
That's absolutely fascinating, and I have so many questions, and I don't want to run out of time with you.
Okay.
One of the things is there's an obvious, not a split, but there are conservative people with a very conservative viewpoint, people with more progressive viewpoint, who often can't see the similarities in what's going on. Is that part of an evolutionary process where some people are resonating at a certain frequency or, the new download and other people are not? Or how do you see those differences that are large groups that see things differently?
Yeah, right. It is, this, there are then all of these nine waves are sort of going into the global mind, you might say. And so we still have that kind of a choice. What wave will we be in resonance with, I think. That's why I think also the ninth wave, that is the possibility of unity consciousness, that is a choice within the global mind. And but not everyone will choose it. We can stay in a kind of polarized mind, and we can stay in a mind that sees no spirit, and some people are in what you might say in a shamanic, that would be the fifth wave of evolution. They are in a shamanic state where in a spirit world kind of thing. That is also a choice. And so these choices exist and within the global mind. And it's a certain timing to when the new frames of mind become possible. So let me take one example. In 1755, one of these new waves was activated. Actually, a wave that has so big veils, so thick veils against the spiritual reality that it became very conducive to industry, to technology, to materialism, etc., etc. And when people see that possibility, pretty much everyone, at least in Europe and other parts of the world, started to download it because they could see, you know, advantages, or they could see that this is the way things are moving forward at this moment, and I'll surf on that kind of a wave. But then again, there were some people still who might have lived in shamanic cultures and wanted to be in the unity with the spirit world and all that kind of thing. And that would be in Peru, for instance, or other parts of the world. And they would say, we're not going to download this stuff. We want to stay in this other more spiritual possibility and so forth. So it's all part of a global mind, but there are also the different levels of the mind have different frames and different cracks. And that's where our individual choice comes in.
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely fascinating way to look at this stuff. And as my father would say, it's very juicy.
Yes.
Very juicy. It's got a
very
lot of
juicy
stuff. So we're coming down to the end here. What is it that you would like people to take away in understanding the Mayan calendar, but also your work with coming to understand it?
Yeah, to begin with, you know, this is the first book in a trilogy, and it's meant to just give the basics. And part of the basics is that we're all part of a evolving divine plan for humanity. And the overall transition has been from unity to separation for the past 5,000 years, and now a possible return to unity from a higher place, so to speak, when we have gone through all this civilizational development and that came from a sort of separating mind.
Right.
So I want people to take that away. I also, you know, I certainly want people to buy and study my book, not only because, you know, I have an obvious personal interest in that, but also because, you know, I want people to know that this is not just sort of babbling or speculation or something like that, that it's so verifiable, this overall evolution of the human mind and its relationship to civilization, that it's just not known. But once you look at it, I really want people to do that and to know that this is very rigorously based research. And then, you know, in terms of the future, I hope everyone makes a commitment to be part of this possibility of unity consciousness. And also, and this is not something I will discuss until the third volume of the book, do it with some realization that this will take some work on each of us, on the part of each of us, that if we are going to do that after having lived a whole lifetime in a state of separation, mental separation, and a state of mental duality, then it will require some things of ourselves. And yet, I think that's absolutely the future, and that I really hope everybody does that for their own sake, and also for everybody else's sake. Because in this regard, we really do all contribute to each other. So I think these are the major takeaways that I would formulate in this kind of a short overview. But I, you know, if I am to try to sell my book, I think there's a lot of fascinating stuff, simply fascinating stuff in this book that are outside of what we normally taught and yet makes a tremendous amount of sense.
Well, that became obvious for me and just flipping through it for 5 minutes. There is so much stuff in there. And every section that I went to, I was like, oh, and it goes here, and it goes there too. So I'm excited about it. I certainly will be spending some time with the book. I certainly suggest that everybody take a look at it. Probably more depth than some people do anything in, but for other people, this is a really juicy one that you'll get a lot of information out of. So I'm excited about it, and certainly excited to get to talk to you. And I hope we can do this again if you'd like to be on the show again. We could be a little more specific about particular concepts or that kind of thing. We can do a little more planning. That would be great fun. My guest tonight is Carl Johan Kalman, who is a PhD and a very rigorous scientist who was drawn to study the Mayan calendar and its implications for civilization and for us as individual human beings, which is a wonderful work. And thank you for doing it. I know how hard, having talked to other scientists that have gone in directions that are not the most accepted in the scientific community. I know how hard that is, and I honor the fact that you chose to do that, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So please stay on with us so we can chat after we're done, and thank you so much for being on the show. This has been great fun for me. This is exactly the stuff I like to talk about. So if folks are curious about me, who knows, maybe think it might be interesting to find out, you could go to househealing.com, and cleverly hiding on the contact tab in plain view is every conceivable technology for finding me, including my telephone scheduling calendar. I do a 20-minute free assessment of whatever is going on with a person, a place, a situation, and we can talk about how my work might be helpful in clearing that situation and helping it move forward. If you want more information about this show, want to listen to the archive or listen to any of the past shows, you can do that at, cleverly enough, thefarkasfiles.com. You can also find all of the shows on iTunes podcasts. We're on iHeartRadio and a number of other streaming media sources online. So please take a look and check out Empower Radio and all the other shows on Empower Radio. This is a really interesting platform that's been put together for uplifting and spiritual and other mind-expanding, might be the wrong word because people think of psychedelic, but that's what it is, getting people to think in a different way. It's all positive radio, and check it out. So I'm very excited that you're listening. I hope you will listen again and often. And this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have an absolutely fantastic week. Enjoy the fantastic weather we're having here anyway. I don't know how the weather is where you are. You could be cold in Australia, but thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week.